All right, good morning, everybody. It's very, very great to participate in this program, even for just a few minutes at the very end of it. But from what I understand, this was a pretty amazing success of tremendous Kiddush Hashem, tremendous amount of Talmud Torah throughout the course of the past couple of weeks. And maybe we'll talk about transitioning a little bit. And it happens to be we're at a good spot on the calendar and a good stam, a good spot in the Parsha relating to transitions and relating to new beginnings. You know, the Parsha, if you ever do this, you ever open up like an art school stone chumash, you know how on the side of the English, you know, that you ever look at the, what do they have on the side of the English? They have like headings, you know, this section is about, and you can like sort of go through every topic that's in the Parsha just by flipping down the margins of the English side of the Stone Chumash. I always recommend to Talmidim they should do the same thing with their own Gemaras, right? When you learn a Gemara, you should be able to, on each page, identify three or four topics, and then you could flip through a Masechta in less than an hour and just, oh yeah, that's where the Gemara spoke about this, that, you could Chazer. It's a very effective way of Chazar. I don't do it enough, but it's something that we should all do for ourselves. So if you do that in the Stone Chumash on any given Parsha, it's an interesting thing to do. Or if you do it the real way, by actually learning the Parsha, that's also an important thing. But something jumps out at you very often. Like you try to figure out what the connection is, what the sequence is. Why are we going from this topic to that topic? And the Parsha starts out pretty clearly with the fact that a person has choices in life. We have the option of bracha, of blessing, of klala, of curse. And then we move on. The Chumash moves on to a discussion of destroying Avodah Zarah, which makes a lot of sense, because as far as curses in the Torah, as far as bad choices in the Torah, there aren't many that are worse than Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is the absolute worst. So that makes sense. That's synonymous with evil. Then we talk about the value of the Beis HaMikdash, which also makes a lot of sense, because as far as bracha is concerned, and as far as what we hope for and what we yearn for and what the point of all of this is, the Beis HaMikdash is a pretty good summary of it. It's the ability to connect HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his makom in this world, an unbelievable positive, an unbelievable bracha that we yearn for every day. And we spend like a quarter of our Shmoneh Esrei talking about things related to that, related to the fact that we're interested in the Mikdash. However, the Chumash then moves on to a discussion of bamos. Now, this is what we call a daf yomi coincidence. The parsha that we're reading right now, that we're going to read this week, is exactly the topic of the daf yomi that we're doing, for those who are doing daf yomi, that we're doing right now. It talks about the evils of bamos. Now, what is a bama? What exactly is the idea of a bama? Well, what's a bama? No? Someone tell me what a bama is. What? A personal altar. What do you use it for? You're gonna bring Avodah Zarah on the Bama? No, it's not for Avodah Zarah, it's for Avodah Hashem. You wanna bring Karbanos. You wanna do things that are good things. Things that in the Beis HaMikdash are the best. And you wanna, and you know what? Some points in history, it was good, it was encouraged, it was a mitzvah. And at other points, not good, not encouraged, not a mitzvah. The Chumash moves on to discuss bamos, and Moshe Rabbeinu warns us: Lo sasun kichol asher nachnu osim po hayom ish kalei yashar be'inav. Don't do whatever you think seems right. Why? Ki lo basem ad ata el haminucha v'el hanachala. Because you have not yet arrived at minucha and at nachala. Today's Avyom is Vachem Kufyates, 4 Deos, what Menucha and Nachala means. Pasha Pshat and 2 of the Deos say that it refers respectively to the Beis HaMikdash and Mishkan Shiloh. That you cannot do what you want because you cannot bring Karbanos because you have not yet gotten to Menucha or Nachala. Asher Hashem Elokecha Nosein Lecha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you. So apparently, that's the Isser of Bamos. Don't bring Karbanos when you're not yet in the Beis HaMikdash, you're not yet in Mishkan Shiloh. Why is that in this Parsha? Bracha, Klala, evil, Avodah Zarah, greatness, Beis HaMikdash. Oh, and by the way, don't be makriv on bummels. What's so terrible about connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu outside of the Mikdash? And the truth is that it's a silly question, because if you learn anything about Tanakh and about Jewish history, bummels were pretty terrible. I mean, it's hard to relate to. They were pretty terrible. The Torah tells us in Parshas Achremos, Dam Yichashev Le'ishahu Dam Shafach, that bummels are like murder. Okay, so that's bad, right? Whenever you equate something with murder, it doesn't always mean it's exactly the same, right? We often equate things with some of the big three averos, is ki'ilu avin avod zar, ki'ilu shofich damim, right? It doesn't always mean exactly the same as. We've pointed out in the past, right? Certainly the Gemara tells us, for example, kala koes, anyone gets angry, is ki'ilu avin avod zar. So would you imagine that if someone comes to you with a gun, points a gun at your head, and says, you better get angry or I'm going to kill you. Right? So what? It's ki'ilu avid avod zar to get angry. So that would make it yaharig val yavar. So you have to sit there calmly and say, I will not get angry. You can pull that trigger, but I'm not going to get angry. Because it's ki'ilu avid. No, it's not mamish avid avod zar. It's not mamish like avod zar. Sometimes ki is the equivalent of, and sometimes ki is similar to. So in these types of cases, similar to. So over here also, Obama is not mamish murder, but the fact that we compare it to murder, that's saying something. You know, whenever we want to give an example of something that's absolutely terrible, that's obviously terrible, we'll use an example of murder. I heard David Lichtenstein on one of his recent shows said that someone tells the story of the Litvak reading the Zohar, and in the Zohar it says that anyone who is holich dal ramos pelin netilas yadayim is chayiv misa. So he can't understand what does that mean. That netilas yadayim is chayiv misa. So he makes an emendation. He puts a little star and writes in the margin vuhu. Shagamkein haragas hanefesh, right? Provided that he also committed murder. That's what they say about making ukimtas and things. You can make an ukimta, it's out of left field. So whenever we say that someone is ki'ilu haragas hanefesh, and over here the Torah says it, dam yechashev le'ishahu, dam shafach, using bamos is equated with murder. So the question then becomes, okay, yes, bamos are that bad. Why are they so bad? What is so bad about wanting to connect HaKadosh Baruch Hu even when we can't do it in Yerushalayim and in Shiloh? What would be so terrible about that? So let's, all of that is question number one. Bamos are listed in the Parsha as a terrible thing. What's so terrible about bamos, considering the fact that it's really a form of Avodas Hashem? Second question. Moshe Rabbeinu presents the choices to Klal Yisrael. Re'ei, Anochi Nosein Lefnechem Hayom, Bracha Uklala. Es habracha asher tishmu al mitzvos Hashem elokechem, the bracha that you listen to the mitzvos of Hashem, asher anochi mitzave eschem hayom, that I'm commanding you in today, v'haklala, and the klala, im lo tishmu al mitzvos Hashem elokechem, if you don't listen to the mitzvos of Hashem, v'sartem min aderech asher anochi mitzave eschem hayom lelechus achrei Elohim acherim, asher lo yedatem, and you veer from the path that I'm commanding you to go on, and you follow other gods, avodah zarah, foreign gods. So it's interesting that when raising the possibility of bracha, Moshe Rabbeinu says, asher tishmu'u, and by klala he says, im lo tishmu, not asher lo tishmu'u. So I guess question number two, why the difference? Why is bracha asher tishmu'u, and klala is im lo tishmu'u? Then a final question, pasuk in Tehillim. Lo yakumu rishayim b'mishpat. You should know that when it comes judgment day, the Rishayim are not going to do very well. Right? Lachar me'av esrim shana. We're all going to go up and face a din. And those among us who are tzaddikim are going to do pretty well. You know, we'll be able to point to all of the zuchuyos, all of the Torah that we learned, the chesed that we did, the mitzvahs that we did. And hopefully that will outweigh our averos and we'll do okay. But you should know, achidish, David HaMelech says, lo yakumu Rishayim b'mishpat. The Rishayim aren't going to do so well. They're not going to be okay in Mishpat. V'chatoim ba'adas tzadikim. And the chatoim are not going to be, the chotim rather, are not going to be ba'adas tzadikim. They're not going to be in a group of tzadikim. There's going to be, you know, the people that are zocha to really great things. And they're going to go, you know, to where tzadikim belong. And you know who's not going to be there? The sinners. So what exactly is the chiddush of this pasuk, right? I mean, I get it. This is what life is about. It's about being a tzaddik. It's about, you know, being able to do our mission here on this world properly. And when we do that, we'll be okay at the end of the day. Why would I have thought that Rishayim might do okay with Mishpat? What, that they'll be able to, like, sweet-talk themselves, like it's a parking ticket or something? You know, they go to the court and they know what to say to the judge, and they, you know, it's like, I think statistically, attractive young women get fewer tickets than, you know, overweight middle-aged men, you know? Like, that's, I think that's, right? Meaning they're going to sweet-talk their way, they'll flutter their eyelashes, and they're going to, they're going to get out. What's the Havamina? Of course, Rishayim. Of course, Rishayim are not going to have. This is the Olam Ames that we're describing. Of course, they're not going to do well in Mishpat. Did we think that after 120, the Rosh is going to be able to you know, finagle his way into Gan Eden? Is it a Chiddush that there's no Chatoim Ba'adas Tzadikim? Isn't that exactly no chotim ba'adas tzaddikim? Isn't that exactly what a tzaddik is? Someone who avoids sins, and therefore sinners don't belong with the tzaddikim? So perhaps the key to answering all of these questions, again, the question about what's so terrible about Bamos, Im and Asher, and the question about what the pasuk is talking about when David HaMelech describes that Rishayim are not going to have, not going to be Yakim Bamishpat. Maybe the key to answering this question is in a phrase that Moshe Rabbeinu uses when he describes those who choose Klala. So he uses a very interesting phrase. He says, those who choose Klala, Im lo tishmu, right? Visartem min haderech. Visartem min haderech. What does that mean, visartem min haderech? It doesn't say visartem min mitzvos. Visartem min haderech. They're going to veer, not just sin, but they're going to veer from the road, from the path. See, good people make mistakes. It's not a big secret. Good people do averos sometimes. There are very few that don't do averos. How many don't do averos? Well, it's a gemara at the end of the first paragraph of Basra, if I'm not mistaken, right? It was Yishai and Kilav and Binyam, right? There were four of them, I think, right? There aren't that many people who don't do averos. Great, great tzaddikim do averos. And you know what else? Less celebrated, less publicized. Bad people do mitzvos sometimes. You know, Ratzach Baruch Hu Zakos Yisrael Lefichach Yirbalem Torah Mitzvos. Achadosh Baruch Hu wanted to be Mezakeh Klal Yisrael. So you know what? Some bad people don't eat blood because they don't like blood. And guess what? That's a fulfillment of a mitzvah lo saseh in the Torah. Bad people do mitzvahs also. Sometimes they feel like a sense of wanting to do, and they'll even do something that is genuinely positive. Who among us, when looking at the 11 months that have passed since the last Ne'ilah, can't find like at least a little bit of a shortcoming? You know, a couple of averos here and there. The difference between a tzaddik and a rasha is not, and the difference between bracha and klala is not who does averus and who does mitzvos. That's part of the definition, but that's not the actual definition. The difference is the derech that we are on. What is v'sarta, who has been sar min haderech, and who has remained al haderech? The difference in bracha and klala is not symbolized by the difference between a mountain and a valley, for example, with the bracha represented by the peak of a mountain and the klala in the deepest valley. Both bracha and klala are on a mountaintop. They appear on a mountaintop. They both look like a great spiritual high. What separates them is that the motivation of the person on the path of bracha is asher tishmu. He's asher tishmu, that's a key phrase. A person who's on the path of bracha is ready to listen. He's ready to grow. He's ready to hear more of the Dvar Hashem. He doesn't measure the Dvar Hashem against some moral code that he lives by, that he has independently decided what is right, what is wrong, what is moral, what is immoral, and therefore judges the Dvar Hashem based on his own sense of right and wrong. Asher Tishmu means a person is ready to listen. A person is ready to be mekabel what a Kodesh Baruch Hu says. The person on the path of Klala might be doing many great things, but everything is im. There's no Asher. There's if. Yeah, I'll give tzedakah because that makes sense. That's righteous. That makes sense, because I believe that that there should be distribution of wealth, and that the rich should take care of the poor, and that. But you know, whenever something doesn't fit my moral code, well, then if it doesn't pass muster, then that's not part of the Torah that I could accept. It's an entirely different path. The path of bracha is asher tishmu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has something to say, and I want to listen. I want to connect to what. Now, will I fail at times? Of course I'll fail. Of course there will be times where I fall short of what I expect of myself, and obviously of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects of me. Of course there will be times where that happens. But the Rasha, everything is in. There will be times where he does great things, because it happens to fit with his worldview. But then there are many times where things won't fit with his worldview. And therefore his path is not the path of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's his own path. Rav Nissen Alpert, Zichrono Livracha. Rav Nissen Alpert was Yadua, he was the big Talmud of Rav Moshe. He was the known as the number one Talmud of Rav Moshe Feinstein. He was a super-duper Talmud Chacham. He was a Rosh Yeshiva in YU. Rabbi David Friedman from DRS told me once that when he was Menachem Avil of Rav Nissen Alpert's family, Rav Moshe Scherer, who's the head of the Aguda, came in and said that they don't even understand what a loss it is for Klal Yisrael, because they were grooming him to be the bridge. You know, here's a Talmud of Ramesha, an undisputed Gon Olam, and he was Rosh Yiva YU. You know, like they were grooming him to be like this. You know, can you imagine Rosh Yiva YU on the Moetzes? You know, like they were. He was a tremendous, tremendous person, tremendous genius. And Rav Nissen Alpert writes that this is exactly what David HaMelech is teaching us. Lo yakumu rishaim b'mishpat. The wicked people are not going to be able to justify their actions by pointing out the chatoim ba'adas tzadikim. Same pasuk. Chatoim ba'adas tzadikim. Look, tzadikim do averus as well. I mean, that's going to be the defense of the rishaim. What, you're holding us accountable for our averus? We're not the only ones that do averus. Look at all the averus that tzadikim do. I only see four people in that group that don't do averos. Everyone else does averos. Sorry, it's a numbers game. We did a few more averos than they did. That's all it is. No, it's not going to work. They're not going to be able to say that they're no more guilty than the tzaddik, because everybody, including the tzaddik, sins. Why? Ki yodea Hashem derech tzaddikim v'derech rishayim tovat. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu appreciates the derech of the tzaddikim, whereas the derech of the rishayim is a lost cause. The derech of the rishayim is a derech toward destruction. It's a derech away from avodas Hashem. So yeah, the tzaddik may sin, but he has his derech. And if you look at the history of Bamos, it's fascinating. For years, the Jewish people kept Bamos long after they were outlawed. I would say the two most difficult things to understand when you study the history of our behavior as a people, the history of our people is much broader, but just the history of our behavior, like how we related to God, how we related to religious worship and service. The two most difficult things to understand are Avodah Zarah, which used to be, and after the Gemara struggles with it, the Gemara says, oh, they must have shechted, I mean, they had a tradition that they shechted the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. Well, what does it mean, they shechted the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah? It means we can't even understand the Yetzer Hara. I was just, a couple of days ago, I was in the Bible Land exhibit in the museum, you know, by the Israel Museum. They have a year-long exhibit on Tcheles. Very fascinating, very interesting to see. So Baruch Sturman, who's one of the Tcheles people, took me on a private tour. Fascinating, unbelievable. Now I'm convinced. When he took us in, he said, "Here is a, this is probably in this museum is probably the world's greatest collection of artifacts from Jewish related artifacts from 2,000, 3,000 years ago, or as others put it, the greatest collection of Avodah Zarah in the world, right? Because that's what a lot of it is. There was a ton of Avodah Zarah going on, very hard to understand. But the second thing that's really difficult to understand is Bamos. You know, Bamos were outlawed. You're not allowed to do it. It's illegal. It's against the halacha. Okay, so, when I would do animal sacrifice? I would do animal sacrifice and start sprinkling blood and dealing with all this stuff when, even though you don't do that in a bum, but I would start thinking about doing all these things if it was absolutely required of me. Right? You have to do it. Okay, so it's a mitzvah Hashem. I would do it. But people, they so desperately wanted to do this. that after it became illegal, it became Aser, that you couldn't stop them. Great righteous kings, Asa, Yehoshaphat, Shlomo HaMelech, couldn't eradicate Bamos. They couldn't convince the people otherwise. The Navi in Malachim Aleph, Perek Tesvav, and Perek Chav Beis reports that with all of the good and righteous that these kings brought, Rak Habamos Losoru, Odaam Mizavchim Umekatrim Babamos. The one thing they couldn't do is get rid of the Bamos. They were helpless in getting rid of the Bamos. And it wasn't until the days of Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda that the Bamos were finally eradicated. And even after they were eradicated, when Sancheirav Melech Ashur came to exile the last two of the Shvatim, so he sends Rav Shekeh to negotiate a surrender for the Jewish community. So who is Rav Shekeh? He's a very interesting character. He's a person that Chazal describe as being a greater Talmud Chacham than Chizkiyahu HaMelech himself. So he's a person of stature, right? But he became an apostate. So not so good. But very, very brilliant. Big, big Talmud Chacham. So when he appealed to the people, he knew how to speak their language, right? He would speak the language of an insider. Because it's like, you know, the guy with the long beard and the long coat who just happens to be an apikoros. So he knew how to speak the language of the insider. He knew how to relate to the people. He spoke in Lashon HaKodesh. And he tried to convince the people that Kadosh Baruch Hu was angry with them. And Kadosh Baruch Hu is not going to protect them. And what was his argument? If you tell me that you trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and therefore you think that Golos isn't happening, who asher hesir Chizkiyahu espamosav ve'esmizbechosav? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still angry at you for removing the Bamos, for getting rid of the Bamos. You know, what kind of psychosis is this? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's Aser, it's in the Torah. We're not allowed to have these Bamos. And not only do we keep on doing it, we're convinced, or this fellow tries to convince us, that when we stop doing this Avera, Hashem is angry at us when we stop doing this Avera. That stopping to do this Avera is itself an Avera. That if only we kept on using Bamos. The ideology of Bamos is that it was something that felt so spiritual. It felt so uplifting. It felt so right. It felt like you were connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It seemed like a spiritual mountaintop. It didn't feel like a valley. The problem is that it wasn't the Ratzon Hashem. It wasn't the Tzivui Hashem. It wasn't what Hashem asked of us. It was the wrong derech to get there. The reason that bamos are equated with the worst kind of sin is that bamos reflect that one has chosen the wrong derech in life. That one is interested in what feels right to me, what seems right to me, and is not a shomeya. Is not ready, asher tishmu, to listen to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to say. You know, people have, it's natural, that people have a spiritual itch that needs to be scratched. People have some sort of spirituality, and they need to express it in some way or another. But when a person just scratches his spiritual itch, he is serving himself, he's not serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The goal of an Eved Hashem is to be exactly that, an Eved Hashem. To be a person who's on the derech of Asher Tishmu. So Rosh Chodesh Elul is a time where we try to identify all of our Averos. And, you know, that process of identifying our Averos and eradicating them is nearly impossible. And we, you know, we try it every year. And we know that in the long run we'll ultimately fail because, again, there are only four. There are only four guys that are on the list. Of course there will be more Averos. And it's very hard. That's what makes the Tshuva process so hard. To say that I'm never going to do this Avera again, that's one of the steps of Tshuva. Maybe our Averos will be different. You know, as Rabbi Pelkovitz, Zichrono Livracha, said, we'll fail better in the future. Maybe. But many people feel very dejected when they face another Chodesh Elul. You see, you guys are still young, you know, but certainly by the time you're my age, and you realize, like, you know, I haven't grown, you know, it hasn't changed all that much from year to year. So, you know what, I just forget it. All right, I'll close my eyes and Ela, and I'll feel like, you know. But I just can't go through the whole process. 40 days of tshuva and this and that, and thinking about things, cheshbon and nefesh. Not too much. But that's not the Yetzer. The Yetzer is not to ignore El. It used to be in Europe, you know, that there were Jews that they would faint when they were Mevarich Rosh Chodesh El, ready last Shabbos. They just pass out the pachad of El. We don't see such Jews. Someone told me once, a rabbi saw a guy in the synagogue in Manhattan who was crying during Rosh Hashanah davening. And he went over to him and said, "Is everything okay? I see that you're bawling and crying." There's an old Alter Yid from Europe. He said, "In Europe, if you weren't crying during Rosh Hashanah davening, someone would come over to you and say, 'Is everything okay?'" Over here, if you're crying, someone asks you if everything's okay. A lot of people just, you know, just can't deal with it. I can't. I mean, I know that I'm not going to be successful. But that's not the Yetzer. It can't be just another day, just another month. Maybe muster some emotion for Hashanah or Yom Kippur or Ne'ilah. Wait for a few moments of inspiration. That's not a strategy for success. The strategy for success is to find a derech. A derech that reflects our values and our commitment to Ratzon Hashem. That's the goal. The goal is not to be perfect. We're never going to be perfect. The goal is to make sure that we're on the right derech. You know, the best mashal sometimes for averos, mitzvos and averos, and how to do tshuva, the best mashal, even though some people don't like using this mashal, but the best mashal is probably dieting. Because, you know, where else do you have to express self-control, chulei? And it's obvious that, you know, I just came back from Eretz Yisrael, so what was our meal plan in Eretz Yisrael? You know, my wife wasn't cooking, and, like, there's a lot of kosher food there. So, like, you know, burgers bar for lunch, waffle bar for dinner, right? That sounds good. Or the other way around, sometimes you do waffle bar for lunch, but it depends when you're in the old city, you know, especially if you're not going to be milchigs in time. Okay, fine, you know. But, like, obviously, if that's your plan, you're not going to, like, go to, right, that's what it's called, the waffle bar? I think that's what we ate last night. You're not going to be able to go. Two nights ago, the days are blurred to me. You're not going to be able to go there and say, okay, I'll take from the diet menu and waffle bar. You know, like, first of all, it doesn't exist, you know. Second of all, like, that's not a derech. The derech is that you have to put yourself on a path where you have a plan, that this is how I live my life, this is how I do things. And then, within that, yeah, Yetzer Haras will come up once in a while, and sometimes you'll pass, and sometimes you'll fail. But you got to be on the right derech. You know, part of the, one of the great shortcomings of contemporary American Jewry, I would say, is the way we work out our school and yeshiva calendars. It's you know, my nephew's cheder started already yesterday. You know, my younger nephew's, their cheder already started a couple of days ago. Why do they need more than 2 weeks off? So they're constantly learning. You know, walking through the old city and the Zilberman's kids, you know, running around. We saw them playing soccer in the yard or something. And I said to my children, you know what's special about these kids? And one of my children said, they're not very good soccer players. but okay, aside from that, right, they learn every day a year except for Tisha B'Av. And what do? As Rabbi Penner Shlita pointed out once, in not just in YU, but, you know, even in Lander, although our June's month goes a little longer, but, you know, whatever the it's, what are we learning? We're learning half a year. Mamish, half a year. Because you're off June, July, August, now some of September with all the Yom Tovim and all of January. You know? And during that half a year, Sunday's kind of optional, Fridays don't exist, you know. So there's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you know, okay, maybe one of those days is an early class or whatever, a Shir Klali, a Bible day, whatever, depending. And so it's half a week, during half a year, and during that half a week, only half a day, right? And during that half a day, when you're actually learning, half of it's batala. Right, so like we whittle it down to a point where we're kamat doing nothing. So it's important to set up a framework, and this is where this program comes into play, and programs like it. I'm not saying like you guys are the greatest people in the whole entire world and no one else matches you. You know, programs like it, that there's all of this time, and what happens with all of this time? Is it used for growth or is it not used for growth? Those who are on the derech make sure that it's used for growth. But the derech is to put yourself in that kind of program. Every time I talk to a kid coming back from Israel, I plan on going to Queens College or Baruch and learning on the side. Okay, so you have a college plan and you don't have a derech for how you're gonna grow in learning. Okay, I'm not saying that you can't go to one of those places and actually learn. You can, but you have to have a derech. You have to wait, you know, Mistam, I'll find a chavrusa. No, you won't. You're not going to learn. Right? You have to have a derech. You have to have a plan. You have to have a framework within which you can grow throughout your life. And that ultimately is the message Moshe Rabbeinu gives us at the beginning of the parasha. It's asher tishmu'u. We should always be interested in being Ovid Hashem. And the way to be Ovid Hashem is to find the derech toward Avodas Hashem, the derech that's going to enable the greatest sense of Avodas Hashem. Have a great rest of the summer and tremendous hatzlacha in the beginning of your next month.